Fab. Right. Good evening, everyone. How are you all doing? So, as in church in the evening service, we've been working through our series of I Am Who God Says I Am. Last week, Simon preached about how I am made right in God's eyes, and this week, me and Dan are preaching on I Am a New Creation. So, what does it mean for us to be a new creation? When we become Christians and make that commitment to Him, we are a new creation through Him. I'm made new as He renews us and restores us through His love and His grace. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old is gone, the new is here." I love how this is just an exclamation of just joy. The old has gone, and the new is here. Everything wrong we have done, every sin that we have committed was paid for on the cross, so we can be made new through Jesus. How awesome is that? And it kept on thinking, reminding me, the old is gone, the new is here, being refreshed, being renewed, of baptism. And it got me thinking a lot about my baptism. And it was actually ironic of the fact that the day that I was preparing this was 5 years since I got baptized. So that was quite fun. but there's so many things of that day that I just remember so vividly. And it's just so crazy to think that, that was 5 years ago. I remember how we go down the water, baptized by my dad and Louise, and coming out of that water, feeling refreshed and renewed by Jesus. You're taught symbolically that as you come out of the water, all of your sins are wiped clean from your body. We are resurrected in new life as a new creation. Acts 22, verse 16 says, "And be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Symbolically, our sin is washed away when we enter the water. But obviously, as that was 5 years ago, I have sinned since then. Baptism shows our commitment to Him. But whether we've been baptized or not, or even a Christian or not, Jesus came down to earth to die for us. And it's like Simon talked about last week, how we are made right in Him and we are forgiven. And then Colin, before that, he talked about a dwelling place and how our sins are forgiven. Every sin that we have done and will do has been paid for and forgiven. Amen? Amen. John chapter 19, verse 13 said, Jesus said, "It is finished." And with that, He bowed His head and gave up His spirit. Through Jesus' sacrifice, we are a new creation because we are in Christ. And that's why we say, "I am a new creation because I am in Christ." We are complete in Him. No power on this earth can take us from Him. How amazing. Colossians chapter 2, verse 10 says, "And in Christ you have been brought to fullness. He is the head over every power and authority." You have been brought to fullness in Him. Nothing in our lives can take the love and relationship we have with Him from us. He is the head over every power. And one thing when I was preparing this, it just kept reminding me of the words in Christ alone. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from His hands. And this is from John chapter 10, verse 28. "I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand." So I asked Liz after if we can sing this song, because it's It's the truth. That is our completeness in Christ. That no other power of the devil or scheme from anyone on earth can take us from Christ, as we are complete and full through him. There's no room for anything else. Because as his creation, we are complete with his mercy and his grace and his love. And that's why we say, I am complete in Jesus Christ through his love and his grace. And that's now I'm going to pass over to Dan.
Just leave that there. Thank you, Laura. So Laura's covered the first two points. I am a new creation and I am complete in Christ. And the bits I've got to talk about really just continue to echo that, because this is such a theme throughout Scripture. 2 Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." These are the sort of verses we roll out all those difficult times, don't they? The kind of idea, oh, don't fear because God's not giving you fear. Now, and then we're like, but I am afraid. I am scared of things. And it's, well, of course we are. Like Laura said, the Bible says that our sins are taken away from us, but we also keep sinning. And it's not necessarily about the practical day-to-day things. We're trying to think about what's going on with us spiritually, that the new life that we're given, that Laura's just told us about, the life that baptism kind of symbolizes, is the Spirit of God that now lives inside us. Not the Spirit that was sinful, not the Spirit that meant that we were separated from God, but God's own Spirit has come to live in us. Now, we heard about this from Colin. He talked about how we are a dwelling place for God's Spirit. Our body is a temple. Literally, God lives in you if you are a believer in Christ. And that Spirit does not fear. That Spirit is a Spirit of power and of love. The same Spirit, the same power that raised Jesus from the dead now lives in us. I don't know about you, church, but that blows my mind. I'm not willing to quite test it yet, but that is incredible. When Jesus said to his disciples, "You're going to do far greater things than me," it's because he knew that they were going to have the same Spirit and the same power. And I'm sure some of us in this room, every now and again, and when we say we've tested that, I mean, has anyone been on holiday and you've gone to the sea or your swimming pool and you've just had that moment and thought, I just wonder just if I believe enough? And because I have, and I'm yet to manage more than a step. And I say a step, I think it's because I quickly threw my other leg in front of me to make it look like I'd taken a step on the water, where obviously I hadn't, just gravity hadn't quite caught up. But in that same Spirit that allows everything that Jesus did, that lives in us. We are a dwelling place for that Spirit. And so because of that, the Bible says that you are born of me, says God. I talked in the very first week about that we are a child of God. But the Bible goes on to talk about how, because you are born of me, because that Spirit lives inside you, the evil one cannot harm you. He's going to try. He's going to try and do everything he can to get at you, to distract you, to whisper in your ear, to cause chaos around you. But he can't actually take you away from me. He cannot harm you because he can't get close to me. He cannot overcome the Spirit that lives in me. And he certainly tried. When we look at that verse in context, we read verse 18 through to 20 in 1 John 5. It says, "We know that anyone born of God does not continue to sin. The one who was born of God keeps him safe, and the evil one cannot harm him." Now, that verse just in a bubble seems a bit weird, because like Laura's just pointing out, yes, our sins are forgiven and washed away, but we do still sin, don't we? We still sin. If you sit there and say, "No, I don't sin," you've just lied. That's a sin. So we do sin. But so what does this mean? Well, this talks about this idea that the Spirit of God inside us is moving our lives away from sin. That we don't see sin as something that we want to obtain anymore, or something that we joyfully want to live in because we just don't care. But actually, we are convicted. We know it's wrong. Even if we have a period of time, 2 weeks, 2 years, 20 years, where we walk away from God and we live a life separate, God is still pulling us back. That Spirit inside us is still saying, this is not the way, and is pulling us away from sin. And even though evil may feel like it's starting to get headway, as soon as we turn and say no, the Spirit of God within us says, yeah, be gone. You cannot harm me, evil. You cannot overcome what Jesus has done, Satan. And so we read on, it says, we know that we are children of God and that the whole world is under the control of the evil one. This is because in the beginning, God made all of creation. And on the sixth day, he made what he saw as very good, and that was humans. In his likeness, he made us. And he said, have dominion over the entire world. The world is yours and all that is in it. But this is what you must not do, because I am ultimately in charge, said God. Do not eat from this tree, because that shows that I have authority over you, and then you have authority over everything else. And spoiler alert, if you've not read the Genesis story, man and woman didn't listen because they were tempted by Satan to do what God had asked them not to. And in that moment, instead of God being in charge and then us next and the world, we decided to walk around and put Satan between us and God. And Satan took dominion over us and therefore over the world. But then Jesus came along, and a way to view it is he kicked Satan's head in, which meant that Satan kind of then was pushed further down, and we have a choice to stand behind Jesus, once where he put us, the world, Satan, but now us and God. We have then rule over what is below us. Jesus brought us back to our rightful position, not because we deserve it, but because God wanted us there. And so because of that, we know also that the Son of God has come and has given us understanding so that we may know him who is true. And we are in him who is true. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, he is the true Son and eternal life. The Bible talks about God has saved us and forgiven us and made us right and made us a new creation, not as a separate entity. All of it is through Jesus. We are made new because of what Jesus did and because we are new in Jesus. Laura's already told us that we are a new creation because if we are in Christ. You cannot be separate from what Jesus has done for us. You can't decide one day, oh, go on then, I'll just be a new creation, perfect and blameless, but I don't believe in what Jesus has done for me and I don't accept his sacrifice and I don't put God first in my life. It doesn't work. Has to be through Jesus. And as Laura's also showed us, Jesus said it is finished. What was finished? Well, multiple things, but one of the things that was finished was the war that had raged between good and evil since that point in Genesis where we gave Satan more power than he should have had. Jesus came to finish that war. Satan knew this was coming. He's smart. He's clever. So he tried to stop Jesus. He tried to stop him before his ministry began. We know about Lent. He tried to tempt Jesus away to say, I'll give you everything, because everything in the world now belongs to me, because your creation gave it to me, and I'll give it to you if you bow down and worship me, if you keep me in my place of authority over everything on this earth, including man. But Jesus said, no, I won't do that. I won't give in to temptation. But before that, Satan had even tried before. He tried to have Jesus killed as a baby. He got Herod to go out and kill all the baby boys, an act of utter evil to try and find Jesus when he was born. I don't know if anyone here is a Terminator fan, but it's kind of like what Terminator films try to do. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, I'll explain later. But trying to stop the source of good before it even came to its rightful place. But even before that, Satan thought he'd won at this point. He thought he'd won in the garden. He thought he'd got this creation that God had put authority in. But the Bible tells us it was never going to end there. Jesus came. Jesus died. Jesus declared it is finished. And so we are born again, a new creation through Jesus. And evil can't touch us. Not ultimately. Yes, he can try. Yes, he can be a problem. But ultimately, he cannot pull us away from God. He cannot take away what God has given us, because we are hidden in Christ. Now, this is a little bit baffling, and I get this. This is one of these sort of church talks, isn't it? Like, oh, are you born again? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you hidden in Christ? And for people, you know, that can feel very odd and very bizarre talk. But what we mean by this, as it says, if you look at the verses in context, since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not on earthly things. For you died, and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Basically, what the Bible is saying is the old life of sin, the stuff that was wrong, the stuff that separates from God, we have killed that off. Because when Jesus died, all of that died with him. And when Jesus rose again, a new life, a new spirit was offered to us. And that spirit isn't something that makes us look unique like all our sins. That spirit identifies us as Jesus. So when God looks at your life now, as sinful as it might be with the things you still do, he sees the spirit of Jesus in you. And he sees then the perfection of Jesus in you. And therefore says, you are right with me in your come. Come and hang out. It's a little bit like Jesus has taken all the rubbish and has said, here, have the perfect clothing that's required to come into heaven. It's freely given. You've just got to put it on. And you cannot mess this up because this is me. I don't know what heaven will look like. Definitely won't look like this. But amongst those people now, you don't see the separate sins. You don't see the mistakes. You don't see the guilt. You don't see the shame. You don't see the difficulty. All you see are people made clean and right with God because of Jesus. People who look like Jesus. And that is all God sees when he sees us. So we get to say about ourselves, I am a new creation. I am hidden in Christ. And then we get to go and live it. Laura already talked about in Christ alone, and the lines that stood out to her, that no power of hell, no scheme of man can pluck us from his hand. And then I also want to say in the same song, we see these lines, and as he being Jesus, stands in victory, that victory that he declared on the cross, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. The only thing Satan had to try and pull us away from God and keep us away from God. For I am his, I am God's, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. The blood that means that we are seen as perfect and right as Jesus is. And we get to declare that about ourselves. Not to be big-headed, not to be kind of, hey, get me. Don't walk into your workplace and go, hey, you're a sinner. I'm washing the blood of Jesus. See you later. That won't necessarily go down too well. But when people start to ask you, well, how can you be a Christian but you still do this? How can you be a Christian but I heard you swear the other day? How can you be a Christian? Yeah, and it's kind of saying being a Christian doesn't mean that everything I do right now is perfect. It's knowing what I do right now isn't perfect. Saying sorry and trusting that God is going to bring it to perfection one day when I get to stand before him, knowing that God does not judge me because of the wrongs, but he sees the right in me that Jesus has given. It's mind-boggling. It should be mind-boggling, church. It's meant to flip ourselves upside down. Thousands of years ago, it started a movement which is still going right now because it changed the world. But we need to accept that for ourselves. We need to believe we are a new creation. I don't know where you've been. I don't know what you've been through. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you'll go through tomorrow, next month, next year, whatever. But none of that will change how God sees you. None of that will change the new creation, the spirit that lives in you. Our job now is to try and work out how do we live that out in this world around us? How do we show other people that? How do we help other people to understand that? And ultimately, how do we help other people want to come and accept that same spirit? So we pray. Father God, thank you for all you have done. Jesus, we thank you for all you have given us, for the mystery of the cross, of the sacrifice, of the way you make us right with you. We thank you for the symbolism of baptism. We thank you that whatever we do, right or wrong, does not matter when we accept you. Lord, I pray that we can be a beacon in this world, that we can show other people you, not necessarily through clever speeches or sermons or guilt trips, Lord, but through love and service and letting your Spirit that lives in us do his work in this world. Lord, may everyone come to see that they can be a new creation, that they can receive perfection from you, that their wrongs are not held against them, and that ultimately they can be hidden in the perfection of Jesus.